What's up, guys? I am Caleb Giddings, and welcome to another episode of Gun Day Brunch, brought to you by Taurus USA and Bleecker Street Publications, I think is what it's called. Bleecker Street something, all right? I know it's Bleecker Street. It used to be something else, and now it's something else, and all of that happened while I was overseas, and I'm just back, doing my own thing. But Keith is not with us today, and neither is his Gen Z lackey, whose name I really should probably learn at some point. Instead, joining me is my friend Kenzie, Kenzie Fitzpatrick. I almost screwed up your last name. Kenzie, for people who don't know you, which is surprising because you're incredibly prolific, who are you and what do you do?
Oh my gosh. Well, first of all, I'm a writer for that company that you can't really say the name for, so it's great. You can check out all those at AppOnOutdoors.com. But yeah, my background really started in the gun industry, like as a hunter, but in competitive shooting world. So I've shot everything now. I'm dabbling in NRL 22. I've shot PRS, USPSA, IDPA, three gun, three guns life, AK matches, all the things. And then now I'm a writer. It was kind of an accidental thing. So I'm a writer in the industry, firearms instructor. I host an annual women's event. Yeah, and I don't want to have a job ever. So that's me.
I too did not want to have. So Kenzie is basically the girl version of me from 10 years ago, like doing a little bit of every, except way more into three gun, which is weird because I routinely give you a hard time that no one
I
shoots
mean,
three gun anymore.
you're way into revolvers and no one shoots revolvers. So I feel like,
Also
again,
facts.
similar.
Yeah, no, you're not entirely wrong about that. Speaking of three gun, what, so this is actually a legitimate question that I don't think I've asked you. So for people who follow the shooting sports, obviously, if you have been around for a while, like I have, you remember when like three gun was the absolute king ding-a-ling. They had three gun nation. They were, big money prize matches and all of that. What's the state of three gun right now? Like as a sport, like I know there's no central sanctioning body for three gun. So everything's a collection of outlaw matches, but how's the sport doing?
Yeah, so the collection of masses of outlaw also, like, they have matches across country that does use some rule set, even if it's not like under that rule set, if that makes sense. But a lot of the three gun is to my, I would say, hate and disgust, has now offered a two gun division or 2x4 division. Now you have PCC in there, right? And so it's still great that we have three gun and there still are major matches all over the country. I think Rocky Mountain State Three Guns coming out soon. And then Zoo City, the fall brawl is happening this fall. I've got like six people signed up with me. I have no idea how. I'm talking like Adam, Brooke, TC. I think a junior shooter is going to come and shoot my gun. So I am like this driving force that will keep three and alive until I die. So it still exists. It's still fun. And Zoo City, I feel like, is the premier, I would say, host of three gun matches, at least on the East Coast side.
Well, I think the problem, and I say this, I think the problem, not with three gun, but the thing that has driven the two gun divisions and stuff like that, and you see, PCSL has a two gun division, a lot of other stuff, is that everybody has an AR and a 9 mil, right? Like everybody, we all have those guns, and a lot of us now have PCCs too. So it's the bar for entry is really, really low to go shoot a two gun match,
Sort
right?
of, sort of. Can I tackle on that?
Yes, by
Okay.
all means.
All right. If you were to buy a shotgun in the same sport, okay, in three gun, yeah, you're gonna probably sh shoot a tube gun. Maybe you shoot the mag fed. That's 2 grand to 4 grand. I will give you that. However, all you need is a red dot. You could shoot a $200 red dot on there if you wanted to. There's people that shoot hollow suns that are $300, right? So I'm talking about a shotgun, an optic, and some magazines. Period. You don't need mag pouches, right? They literally clip onto your belt. So hear me out. With PCSL, yeah, there might be 200 yard shots is like the greatest, but they are small. They have a lot of partials, a lot of no shoots, a lot of swingers. And then when you talk about the two gun division in Zoo City, like when they do their two gun match, you are shooting a 223 rifle out to 700 yards, period. Now we're talking about bipod. We're talking about a bag. We're talking about an offset red dot. We're talking about an LPVO. You also need high quality ammunition to hit stuff versus birdshot. So what's so intriguing to me is that people want to argue this, but you are going to spend so much more on the AR platform than you are on a shotgun because you need mag pouches, magazines. You're going to need different ones depending on what you're shooting, if you're prone or whatever. So it's fascinating that this doesn't work out because in my world too, I think about like demo guns, and I know you do this all over the country, at events. What if every squad just had one demo gun? I mean, my squad typically, like, there's three or four people that end up shooting my shotgun the whole match and it runs, right? So Am I wrong to think about the gear involved? I mean, you might need a Kestrel. You definitely need a chronograph. Like, there are things that you now need to shoot 700 yards in two gun.
I have a Kestrel that I think I've taken out of my drawer like 3 times, and I bought it because as and we've all done this. I took a long range class last year at FTW Ranch, right? And I'm like, oh man, this is so awesome. I'm gonna get a long range shooting. So I bought a Kestrel, I bought a bunch of other stuff, and it has sat in my drawer
That's on you.
for that.
That is
Yeah,
on you.
but we all
I
do
just
that
used mine this
too.
past weekend at NRL 22. Like, I actually shot, brought it out, and I never used it for NRL 22. It's only my second time shooting it. But I actually had the chronograph data, which you do need. You still are holding and dialing these little tiny guns, at 100 yards. So I actually use my Kestrel every week, pretty much, and the chronograph
Tell me,
every
okay,
week.
so tell me about NRL 22, because I'm super curious, because I now have, so I'm super curious about NRL, NRL Hunter and all of those, because I now have, good bolt guns, right? Like I've got an Expedition in 6.5 Creedmoor with a really good optic on it, and I can get my hands on a really good 22 bolt gun really, really easily. So what the fuck is NRL Hunt or NRL 22 anyways? Like how far are we shooting? Like what's happening? Is it
Okay, so
A bunch of
NRL
like
Hunter.
ballistic. Wait, hang on. Is it marksmanship super nerds who decided that shooting 6.5 was too expensive, so they wanted to shoot 22s instead?
I give him a lot of shit for that because it's 100%. You're still spending the same ungodly amount on the scope and the rifle, and they're shooting this like little tiny 22 ammunition, which is kind of comical because I'm like, come on, boys, like let's go shoot the big boy sport. So it's still fun. It's still a feeder. It's still hard as hell. So like, that's the other
Of
thing, and
course.
I always respect the sport. It is challenging. So NRL stands for National Rifle League for people that don't know about that, kind of like PRS's Precision Rifle Series. And the NRL 22 stuff is fascinating because it is bolt action. They do have gas gun division, and I wouldn't recommend that for any sport, by the way, for long range. It's so hard. But you're talking about really good, like factory or custom bolt guns. Like I did a custom 22, it's a Voodoo barreled action, and then I put it in the MDT chassis. And then I just have a 5-25 scope on there. So you do still want high level magnification. That's what people like think that they don't. But these targets, I'm not exaggerating, are a quarter of an inch, a half inch, 1 inch. Like the know your limits plate racks are insane. So moving forward, like my gun now, Bagara B14R barreled action, super easy, factory in stock, gun. Then I dropped it in the Solus chassis, and I'm running the new Burris 3-18 or 3.3-18. So these targets are sized down, and you're only shooting. There's two ways. So they give you an option. You're only shooting within about 100 yards, or they'll extend it out to like 125 to like 150. It just depends on the range. And here's why they do that. Most everywhere in the country is going to have a 100-yard range, period, right? Because
Yes.
that's where people zero most of their rifles. So when you get to an NRL 22 match, I always recommend this, and every pro will too, is like zeroing your rifle for that sport at 50 for the 100 yards and in, because you're not going to be shooting maybe out to like 75. It just depends. Now, the option two, and where I'm going with this, is the extended range is some people have access to that. Texas, my God, you can shoot, 1500 yards, a mile, whatever. So people can shoot these 22s a little bit further. That might change the target size. But if you didn't know, NRL posts a monthly like stage plan essentially for a match. So all over the country, shooters are actually shooting the same stages. Yes, the environment's different, the temperature's different, the wind's different. I don't need to argue all that. I'm just sharing. It's really cool because the entire country is shooting these same stages. And that's why they give you option one for under 100 or option two for over. So
Quick
it's pretty
pause.
neat.
Take a deep breath. You have to
I'm
breathe when you talk.
so
No,
excited.
and I love the idea of that. So ICOR, the International Confederation of Revolver Enthusiasts, which is a real sport.
Hard.
Those guys do a postal match every year, and it's the same thing, right? They send out, 6 or 8 written stage briefs and stage designs, and that way individual clubs can lay them out. And I've always thought that was a clever idea, especially for a super duper niche sport, right? Like ICOR, I was actually a club director for an ICOR club, and I would get like 6 people once a month for the match, which was pretty solid turnout. I was like, yay, 6 nerds. But the postal match is really cool because you can shoot it in multiple divisions. You can shoot it a lot, and it really gives you the opportunity to give yourself a benchmark against the best shooters in the sport. because like you may not be able to make it to I-Corps Nationals, you may not be able to make it to one of the regional matches and actually shoot heads up against these guys, but a lot of people shoot the postal match. So I've always thought that was a very clever thing that they did.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, I know Go Fast Don't Suck back in the day. I don't know if you remember this. They did a postal match for USP. That was badass.
I
Same
shot
thing. And
it I shot it with a PCC. I shot
I
one
did.
USPSA match that year, and I shot it with an SBR PCC with a 40-round Magpul drum.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah, those
I did not do good. Well, and the reason I didn't do very well was because I shot one USPSA match that year, and I have to say, as much shit as I like to talk about PCC in pistol sports, the
hard.
art of moving with a PCC in and out of these positions that are really optimized for a handgun changes the game, and it changes the way you think. It changes your angles. You know, the guys who are doing this at a really, really high level are absolutely insanely good at what they do. And so much of their game is built around that movement piece, right? Like, you can't be bad at moving with a carbine and win PCC matches.
Now you would hit so many walls and not be able to retreat with one. That's totally different. The
I did
weight's different.
that. I shot a
Very
oh, I
different.
shot a wall. I shot no shoots. I forgot about hide over bore and freaking shot a no shoot like twice in the face. I was like, oh no.
Yep. There's so many things that go into shooting that it's funny. Like we can still like banter back and forth about different sports and give people a hard time, but at the end of the day, they are so challenging in every division, every sport, everything's different, and it's a whole new platform.
It
So
really is.
I'm
So
just
what's
sucking right now, but it's
Well, yeah,
fun.
well, what's like, I've been very, okay, well, hang on. I don't want to talk about too much shooting sports drama because there's always shooting sports drama.
Oh,
There's
yeah.
always tea.
Let's
Everybody's
avoid
always
that today.
mad. Some
Have
of it we
fun.
can't, some of it we
No.
can't talk about. My hair, I have one crazy hair that is driving me bananas right now. I can't talk about the gun that rhymes with big
Stop.
tree 20. All right. I can't. For a number of reasons, one of which is my boss at Tourist asked me to stop talking shit about SIG, and I said, "Okay, yes, sir, very well." And also, you know, I mean, at this point, it's kind of like kicking somebody while they're down, right?
Yeah.
But anyway, I will say this: I loved SIG has made some really in defense of SIG, they have made some really, really cool guns. I miss the, and they don't make it anymore, or if they do, they rolled it into the Legion line, which is kind of cringe. But the P226 Elite SAO was such
Yes.
a fucking
That's
good
what I
gun.
shoot when I go to WAF. That's the one of the ones in the armory that not a lot of people, they don't let a lot of people shoot that gun for reasons, right? The trigger is really nice. It's really light. Single action only is different. But when I go there, I'm like, I want that one. I want that one. And it's
That
mine.
was. I shot one of those, interestingly enough, at a three gun match back in 2013, 14, and I just was like every time we got to the pistol stages, I was like, I've got a really good gun for this. My rifle was not good. Actually, my rifle wasn't bad. That was before your time, back in the Colt competition era. So if you so here's so 2014, I want to say. Colt spun up a competition division within Colt. Now, if you actually knew what was going on, it wasn't actually part of Colt. They basically had Colt receivers, and they were making really nice rifles and calling them the Colt competition rifles. And I had a Colt competition rifle, and I had a 1911 and some other fun guns. But that Colt competition rifle is really good. And then, you know, they went out of business. Well, not Colt. The competition side didn't make any money. So they folded it back up, which as is. So I'll ask you. So that reminds me, here's another question for you. Why don't competition products sell?
I mean, it's a small market. It's a niche market. And because 99% of those people are sponsored, they're getting them at cost. They're in the industry. But I mean, it's they don't and they don't market it. Like there's 1% I would say of competition shooters, right, that represent like the industry outside of the industry, whether talking to people or doing social media marketing or doing videos, right? Or demoing guns. And that's really rare to find. So I mean, at the end of the day, the money is not there. The money's gonna be in military, law enforcement, and mass, like the GX2, mass affordable carry guns for the newest shooter. That's what they can afford, or that's what they think that will work for them, and that's all that they're going to put into it, right?
I mean, we could also make the argument too that competition shooters are cheap as hell.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, they're going to be sponsored. They're not going to pay full price. There's so many things to that for sure. And they don't add value. I think that's some of the disappointment on a larger scale that I think that we could do better of is giving back to the companies that give back to us, that sponsor events and do more, you know?
Yeah, do more for the companies that sponsor events. We sponsor a lot of events. Do more for us. Buy my shit. Like, seriously, buy guns. And I actually really love giving away guns. Like, one of my favorite things to do is at matches giving away gun certificates, right? Because, like, and I have to say this, I really appreciate how IDPA does it via random draw. Right. Instead of like you get to walk the prize table at, in order of your finish and all of that, I like that IDPA does random draws because that means the dude who finished like 32nd
Number two.
sharpshooter in carry optics, all of a sudden he gets a $300 gun and he has now had the best fucking day that he's
And he's
had
gonna
at the
use
range in
it. Yeah.
ages.
And he's gonna use it, not sell it, not put it in a safe.
Yeah.
So back to Zoo City Armory, this is actually what I love that they do. And I think this is the model. They do a thing where every shooter that checks in, no matter what, gets some sort of gift bag, and it's gonna have an optic. It might have a gun certificate. They give away guns in that. They give away Yeti coolers. Actually, I don't even know. Zoo City. This is not an ad for them, but I'm sharing this because they do that. But every single division does order a finish, but only the top 25% get prizes. So if there's
Okay.
100 shooters, 25 people are going to walk that specific prize table. And they don't do it order of finish, which I think is bullshit, for every division overall, like in one category, right? They have an open table, a tac ops table, limited table. So it gives shooters the benefit that want to shoot those divisions still the opportunity to walk the prize table for being good at that division. Because, man, like, if you think about, like, all these, obviously AMU shooters and all these other really good pro shooters, I mean, they're putting in the work too, and they're not all sponsored, right?
Right.
So I like that model. I really do. And then they always give back to the ROs, and the ROs get stuff too, because you can't forget about your ROs.
I'm a big believer in supporting ROs. A lot of times when I will do match guns, I will say to the match director, I will say, hey, here's three guns for the Gen Pop shooters and then one for the range staff and one for the range
What we
officers because, it's nice. I'm pause this one. Shout out to the ROs for a second, right? Like, I've been around long enough in the sport that I know, that I've seen multiple attempts. I've seen the conversation happen multiple times from multiple different people about professionalizing the sports, right? Like making USPSA more professional, making, all of that, having all of that stuff. And I'm like, look, that all sounds great. That all costs a lot of money. I don't know any billionaires. So if you do, if you are a billionaire and you are out there and you would like to lose money by turning the shooting sports into a professional sport with like paid referees and stuff like that, hit me up. I know exactly how to do it. However, you will lose money for the record too. Like, let's be very clear, you're going to lose
Go from
money
a
doing that.
billionaire to a millionaire, you
Yeah,
know?
exactly. But I am very, very cognizant of the fact that our sports survive because of the C class and the B class shooters who are, who sign up to do the RO thing, who sign up to be safety officers, range masters, and all of that. And all of these motherfuckers, and I say motherfuckers with like love in my heart, are doing it for the love of the game, right? They're not getting paid. They might get their rooms and lodging comped at nationals or something like that, and they might get a $34 per diem to get food. All right, they're using their vacation time, they're using their personal time, and they're doing it for the love of the game. So big shout out to the ROs because I don't get to do this without you guys.
Yeah, same with Gal's Day. GX2s, y'all sent five, one went to the ROs, and it's random draw.
I
And the
sent you
ROs,
five guns. That was nice of me.
I don't know if it was Laura, actually.
Oh,
You
okay.
were
Well, Laura's the yeah. We'll say it
era.
was Laura. Okay, she's
But
still yeah.
you did the GX4s the year before that with Ride-On optics.
Yeah,
So,
those were
anyway, so
fun.
there's support. So four of them go to the Gen Pop, the attendees, and one goes to ROs. And yeah, I pay for their food, pay for their shirt, pay for the ROs that travel in hotel, like stuff like that I can do. But yeah, like having a little surprise, because the first time I did that, where they're like, hold on, we have guns thrown in. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we do.
One in like 25 chance, you know, and then now it's like one in 35, 40, but yeah.
Still, but that's a lot, that's a perk for people and people appreciate that. Now, speaking of prize bags, to this day, I remember the f wildest prize bag I ever got at a match was during like the heyday, well, the second heyday, I should say, like the during the resurgence of Bianchi Cup. I went to Bianchi Cup and I want to say it was 2009 or 2010, and they were shooter's bags. So everybody got a shooter's bag. And in your shooter's bag, there were also random prizes like distributed in the shooter's bag, right? So in my shooter's bag, I'm like, oh, cool, a hat. Oh, cool, a this. Oh, cool, a that. Oh, cool, an Aimpoint Micro H2. This is a $900 optic. And I forget. And then that year, I also won a gun in a random drawing, won a gun for my finish in production division, and won a gun safe in a random drawing, right? Oh my God. The prize tables on that were stacked. But I say that because I am going to bully you right now on this call. You're coming to Bianchi Cup with me next year.
Okay, give me a gun. Tell me what to
You
do. I will do it.
need a do
What to train? What
what's
to
the most
train?
accurate gun that you have? The most accurate handgun.
All handgun revolver.
Handgun. Just
Oh,
semi-automatic handgun.
Sandhawk.
Okay. That'd put you in metallic, so probably not the best option for that.
Who cares? I'm gonna be at the bottom no
Do
matter
you
what.
have a PDP or like the PDP Pro?
Yep, I
Okay.
have all.
There you
I have
go.
a aim point too.
Okay, there you go. So the
Yeah.
PDP Pro is the gun you want to use because they're stupid accurate. That puts you in carry optics division, which admittedly is full of absolute killing machines. But carry optics division is full of killing machines in every shooting sport now.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
Like
That's why I like limited optics and yeah, metallic apparently.
the way that carry optics has absolutely taken over every shooting sport. Like I'm
I'm
looking
done.
at like right now, so I'm on the practice score page for IDPA Nationals, right, which is in a month, and I've done almost no training. It's
It's
gonna be
gonna go well.
fine. So if I look at our breakdowns, so there are 382 registered shooters. There's 382 registered shooters.
Which, by the
Of
way, AK Clash Bash this year had 352. Keep
that's a
going. Cause
lot.
we'll talk about AK stuff in a second. Keep going.
So 382 registered shooters. Of those, 159 are in carry optics.
Yeah.
That's almost 50% of registered participants are in the carry optic division. And then if you add in the 43 in PCC, then over 50% of your registered shooters are shooting some sort of optic equipped gun.
Yeah.
At the largest, so this is a technically correct statement. IDPA Nationals is the largest standalone national match, right? It's bigger than. If you add up all of the attendees at the multiple USPSA Nationals, it's bigger, but IDPA Nationals is the largest standalone.
Even though I thought carry optics USPSA last year, the year before, had 400 or
It might
something.
have. I
That
am
might
more
be.
than willing to be
I mean, it's
fact
still
checked
up
on
there.
that because I believe it may have actually been even bigger.
So AK stuff though, like if you haven't gone, so Caleb, I'll shoot your little Bianchi, but you need to come shoot an AK or just attend. Here's why. AK Masters, Clash Bash, Winter Motherland, it doesn't matter. Clash Bash is the coolest thing ever. I don't know how Clay and Rachel and all the guys have put this on, you know, the guys at Dissonant Arms, I mean, unreal. So they do an actual match format for rifle, a match one now for like PCC, AK PCC, but it's also a 3-day festival of AKs. Like there's like 16 bays full of manufacturers where you can go shoot machine guns, you can go demo stuff, I mean optics, firearms, whatever. There's tents full of, you know, suppressor brands or whatever. And here's what's nuts. I don't think you're talking about prize tables and stuff. Kalash Bash gives out I couldn't even name how many, maybe 60 firearms, maybe 80, because and they're Galils. They're like really nice AKs, Century Arms stuff. Zastavas, and they give them out for people that have the most ridiculous costume, the most ridiculous group costume, the most XYZ. Like the awards and the plaques are insane, but they give these people firearms. So people have a purpose to try to win one of these categories, right? And then like the match is kind of the smallest part of Kalash Bash, But they do, High Lady, High Junior, top three in the division. They have these massive wrestling belts for people who win, but they give guns to all these people that also put in the time to compete and do well. But it is, and then they do random. They do like the last place person and the 50% shooter. And so they do these like really fun things. And I think like AK matches have been the most like down to earth people, even on the competitor side. It's more lax. Like we're not taking it super serious. We're having a blast. It is a joy to shoot. And this past year, I got 13th out of that 352 shooters, by the way. It was the best finish I've ever had. Like, beat my friend Adam Litke. I hope he listens to this podcast because I smoked him finally. Yes. And then he got me back at AK Masters. But it doesn't matter because, I mean, it's been really cool to see that overall. Yeah.
You can absolutely send it to him. It's available on all streaming services. It'll be uploaded on
Tag Adam Litke, Hollow Sun Adam.
it'll be uploaded on Bleecker Street's streaming service, as well as on the audio version, which is the best version, is up on Apple and Spotify, and will go up after we shortly after we finished recording it. It's funny, you mentioned the Kalash Bash, and from your description, like, I mean, like, shooting an AK, like, gross,
No fun.
but no, I don't mind the AKs.
Helicopter rides, you get to camp, they have concerts, they do a bonfire, they blow it up.
So, it sounds like the single action shooting society's end of trail match. So the big national championship for SAS, at the end of, so they have it in, I want to say, New
But
Mexico.
60 years younger.
Yeah, well, hey, listen, I'm a lifetime member of SAS, for the record. And if so, people who know me know that I used to ride a Vespa, the little motorbike, right?
Yeah,
So
of course.
when you join SAS, you have to pick an alias. And when I
Maverick
tell you,
Fitzpatrick.
mine is Vesperado. It's so good. It's
Is good.
so good.
Good. I have two belt buckles I won, Georgia State and Florida State Cowgirl Division. That was fun. I've done it all. Like, yeah, let's go. Besides Bianchi, apparently.
All right, so trying
Caleb's
to
distracted.
multitask here while I run a podcast, as it is. Well, and it's interesting, the social aspect of some of these events is it's hard to overstate, right? Like, the there's a huge, with Bianchi Cup, there's a huge social aspect to it, because there's, meet and greets, there's cocktail receptions. I will say, a little bit sadly, Bianchi Cup used to have a level of pageantry associated with it that was awesome. Like, the cocktail hour was always a Western cocktail hour. You had to wear boots, as a guy. I don't remember what the girls wore because I was too busy getting drunk. The dinner, the actual, like, dinner, the awards dinner used to be a formal occasion, like, not black tie, but like, guys were expected to dress nice. Women would go out and they would have like fancy party dresses that they would wear to this event. And that's changed as the cup has fallen off in
Popularity.
popularity. It's The cup went through some hard times, and I have the tea on those hard times that no one cares about. But in short, the really short version of it is, a lot of it had to do with the NRA kind of getting out of a lot of the shooting sport activities that it was involved in, for a number of NRA reasons. If you guys have followed the drama with NRA over the past 10 years.
Now you can shoot their rifle thingy, which seems really interestingly lame, but
What's the NRA's rifle thingy?
they are doing basically like go to your local range and or local indoor range or whatever it is and like go shoot some paper targets standing still essentially. I don't know all the details, but it's now like a national NRA rifle challenge thing. I'm like, okay.
I'm okay with that. Because there's, what, 4 million NRA members,
What if you and
and
I just showed up to ours and just smoked everyone?
wait, hang on. Now I want to go look this up.
What's off the table?
All
That's what
right,
I'm curious
where is it?
about.
NRA National Rifle Challenge.
Yeah, America's Rifle
America's
Challenge.
Rifle Challenge. Arc.nra.org. Okay. Da, 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 da. We've recognized that the
Throw in
AR. All
money.
right, so it uses an AR-15. There's a rule book. All right, this is a lot. Arc level one is fired
Indoor,
on
outdoor.
indoor outdoor ranges from 10 to 100 yards and may be held on 25 yards range, 25 yard ranges with our reduced size target. Please review the current Arc rule book for additional details. All right, you know what? I fuck with this. Cool. Good job, NRA. This is neat. I hope that they put adequate resources and training behind it because this is pretty cool that they are. Now, sad on the flip side, they're going to support this, but they're going to ditch Bianchi Cup. What the
That's what
fuck?
I mean. That's what I
Yeah.
mean.
But I also understand the ditching Bianchi Cup because it's a hard match. Like, it's really, really difficult. And it's in a hard place. Like, there's not a whole lot in Columbia, Missouri. Tell you what, guys. Well, I don't know. I guess there's a Mizzou is there, the big college football powerhouse. But if you're not going for a college football game, there's kind of no reason for that. But anyway, you're gonna come to Bianchi Cup with me next year, and you're gonna get junked because everybody gets junked their first year. You're gonna be like, these targets are they look so big, and then you're 50 yards away from them, and I gotta shoot them. Yes, you do.
I
But
know.
that's
I expect that. People that come in a match like, oh, I'm gonna crush him and do so good. Like even at NRL 22, I was like, yeah, I've shot everything else. This does not mean I know shit about this. I just not I was like, I fully expect my name to be last on practice score. It wasn't, but it's still like, yeah, no, duh.
What's the biggest, so because you've been shooting competitively for a while now, what's the most humbling experience you've had in a match?
When I shot Tac Ops in three gun back in the day, where it was iron sight pistol, tube fed shotgun, rifle that had just the scope on it, didn't know what I was doing. So I think all of that shit back in the day was painful. Painful,
Well,
painful.
and going back to three
Like
gun,
shooting 2% of the winner, not really, but like,
no one wants to learn how to load a shotgun. Okay. Listen, just because Keanu
Oh.
Reeves, no, look, just because Keanu Reeves made that shit look cool in John Wick, like the number of people who actually want to like dedicate themselves to really getting good at quad loading a shotgun. Anybody who gets good at quad loading a shotgun is a fucking psycho, as far as I'm concerned. All right.
So I went with Mossberg to Thunder Ranch and we did the shotgun class. And you know how like the Rolling Thunder? Have you done that?
No.
So you're in a line and essentially, and like the person in the front shooting one round, then the next one two round or three round or
Oh.
two. Ever. And so by the time it would get to me, I'm like literally been waiting for a minute, right? Because shotgunners like in line have to reload and they're trying to quad or do it off the shot shell caddy or
Yeah, of course.
their pouch. And they're like, really? I was like, I don't think I ever was the one that like we were waiting on ever. That was really fun. But yeah, there's no practicality in it. I get it. I get it.
Well, it's not that there's no practicality. Look, here's the thing. I actually disagree with that. If you, so I have a shotgun as a home defense gun, right? But if you look at in the real world, if you look at the way shotguns get used in fights, and if that is so, let me backtrack this a little bit. I am the biggest and have always been the biggest proponent of using practical shooting as a tool to get better at gun handling, right? If you carry a handgun for personal protection, you should shoot matches. Like, you don't have to become a GM or an M or even an A class. Fuck, you don't even have to become a B class shooter, right? But you should go shoot matches because it gives you the opportunity to operate your gun in an environment other than the static square range, 7 yards, whatever. And I think that's hugely valuable. What I have seen is two very specific venues where the competitive aspect of the game has moved the usage of a specific gun far enough outside of how they get used in the real world that I would be like, hey, still do this, but understand what you're doing is not a reflection of real world use cases. And interestingly, the two of those are shotgun and revolver, right? Like, if you look at defensive uses of shotgun, whether they're law enforcement or home defense uses, the fight is almost always resolved within 3 rounds, and you are in the fight with the ammo that you have in the gun and on the gun, which is why I tell people, hey, if you want, like, the most realistic thing to do is get a side saddle and practice loading that. Like, practice loading that some bitch. That's useful. And then revolver, I love USPSA revolver, but the prevalence of 6-inch 8-shot guns is completely disconnected from the revolvers that people have in the real world, which are, 6-shot 38s and, 6-shot little baby snub nose 38s, right? Like, I am definitely not taking my 8-shot 608 competition with moon clips to a gunfight. I mean,
Like a fourth of your size, anyways.
yeah, well, there's that too. All right, what else? What else can we talk about? We got a couple minutes to kill before I got to wrap this bad boy up.
We should just talk about the brawler and how awesome it
We
is as
should.
well, though.
Okay. Yes.
Because I got so
So
much shit on that, and I don't care because it's the coolest thing ever.
I texted Kenzie to be like, hey, do you want to hop on the show? And she's like, yes, I'm writing a review of the Rossi Brawler. So the Rossi Brawler is part of an overarching family of guns that we've got. We have the, it started with the survival rifle, which is the 410-45. And then we did the pistol version of that, the Brawler, a 410-45. And then we spun that off into the LWC, the lightweight carbine, which we have in 300 Black, 5.56, 44 Magnum, 357 Magnum. And then we're like, well, let's do brawlers of the 300 Black and the 5.56. And one, they sell like hotcakes. They're absolutely great. I got a brawler pistol in 45 410 and I SBR'd it and I put a folding stock on it. So it's like this big.
Yeah.
But tell me, what is it that you like about your 300 Blackout brawler?
So, I mean, I didn't know this until I got a zero turn mower like a month ago. Can't even make this up. And as I'm mowing, I'm bouncing and I'm in pain and I'm looking at the ground. There's massive, massive groundhog holes. So, similar to your background or backyard in an urban environment, it was ridiculous. I'm in the country. So I didn't realize, like, I'm writing this review, right? And I was like, and you can read the intro later. I sent it to Caleb, but it was more of a comic satire of like, this is probably not for everyone. It's not your cup of tea. Don't worry about it. There's niche market. There's people that need this. And so for me, my intrigue was one that I could put on my hip or something like that on the mower, whatever. When I'm mowing the yard and I see these things pop up and I wanted to be suppressed. And it was the same thing talking to Laura, which will come out on gunsandammo.com eventually, of the Rossi R95, and I put a suppressor on it. Everything should be suppressed, period. And I'm looking for varmint guns, backcountry guns, guns that can take a beating, and guns that can mount optics, man. And they're practical. So, like, these both are guns that I want to shoot a hog with, a deer with. You know what I mean? Like, Caleb on this podcast, you heard it live here first. Caleb's going to take
Oh,
me hog hunting
I do need to take
with
you
the
hog hunting
brawler,
too.
with
Yeah,
the brawler.
absolutely.
And we're going to
Yes.
kill some. So, I put the Hollow Sun thermal on there. Zeroed it, and I shit you not, in the dark, it is the perfect thing to hit the groundhogs with because you got the zero or the red dot, and then you have the thermal, and it's suppressed, and it's a single shot, and 300 blackout smokes them.
Oh,
So at the
yeah.
end of
You put a 200 grain 300 blackout through that thing, it's gonna friggin' turn it inside out, and it's gonna sound, and you're, and the friggin' sound of the hammer dropping is going to be louder than the
powder.
gun going off.
Outer. There's no recoil. So like when people are watching the video that I put on Instagram, they're like, I'm sorry, what? And then people are like, this is the weirdest thing I've ever seen. I got so many text messages and DMs and stuff, but then there's people like, holy shit, I need this. Like on Twitter, people are like, yeah, I need it. So I was like, yeah, space gun.
Yeah, no, and it's super awesome. Like, so I
By the way,
have
just in
the.
general too, I gotta say this last thing before I forget. Rossi is like a really, really, really underrated brand, you guys. They're freaking accurate. By the way, we're shooting a targets at 75 yards, like small steel. I'm just obsessed with Rossi, that whole line of guns.
So here's
Continue.
a fun fact, and something people don't know about Rossi is all of our barrels, whether it's the barrel on the $300 lightweight carbine in 44 Magnum or the $1,000 R95 stainless 4570, every barrel that we have is called Hammer Forged, right? Like, and if you are a barrel nerd, that means something to you. I did not know that Cold Hammer Forged was like super good. The only other company that like Cold Hammer Forges all their barrels is fucking Walther. And like everybody knows how accurate the Walthers are. So yeah, no, all our barrels Cold Hammer Forged. That's why, like, you know, I had the LWC, or not the LWC, I had my survival rifle, zeroed it with 45 Colt rounds, and I had an AC steel target at like 75 yards, and I'm standing offhand just like ping. You pop it out. And one thing that I love, I wish the brawler had these. The survival rifle and the brawler in 45 have ejectors.
Oh, yeah.
So the
Yeah, that's the one thing
LWC and the
for.
300s just have an extractor. So you got to pull the round out. The 45s have an ejector, and when you drop it, it clicks and ooh, when I tell you it launches those empty casings, and it's so tactile, it's so dumb. And it's so satisfying. But the brawlers are really good. The brawler, the survivor rifle, the LWC are really good examples of one of the things I firmly believe about guns is that not every gun has to be super fucking serious.
That's what I mean. Did you read my intro yet?
I
You still
did.
have
I
it.
did.
Okay.
No,
'Cause I'm
absolutely.
like, this is not for the masses. This doesn't have to be your cup of tea. This could be ridiculous. Like, it doesn't even have to have a purpose. This one does for me, but maybe you just want it to want
Yeah,
it. Who
it's
cares?
okay to buy things for fun. And it's like,
Especially
because
at the
like,
price point, like,
oh
come
yeah,
Come
No,
on.
yeah. And that's the thing, like, you get a lot of people there are a lot of people, especially, in my side of the space, which is very focused on the self-defense community and all of that. There's a lot of people who are like, "Oh, I only get guns that are good for training and personal protection and all of that." And I'm like, "That's cool. I have guns that are really fucking fun." And some of them don't make any sense, but they're so much fun. I have one of my favorite guns. And I shouldn't, we make a gun that competes with this now, but I got this gun before I started working for Taurus. Is I got the Henry Axe in 410. So
Oh
it's like
yeah.
the little shorty mare's leg. And I'm like, this gun's stupid. This gun's not for anything. And then you go shoot it, and you're like, hey, this gun's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, guys. It is okay to have fun. That is it for this week's episode of Gun Day Brunch. I want to say thank you to Kenzie for coming on, chatting with me, saving the show. Kenzie, where can people find you online?
Easiest thing, 3GunKenzie.com, at 3GunKenzie everywhere else, whether it's Facebook, Instagram, you name it. And then Reticle Up actually is the YouTube. I'm trying to change that channel for the handle for a minute. But anyways, I've actually been posting like videos like regularly, which is great. Dropped one this Sunday. I'm gonna drop another one. I've got three more coming out. We're doing good. So yeah, online. And then if you have questions about any of this kind of stuff, man, DM me and I'll answer them. Just don't be creepy. That's it.
Or do be creepy, and then she'll screenshot it
Get
and send
blocked.
it to me, and I'll laugh at you. Anyway,
True.
guys, that's it. Thank you so much for watching, listening. Again, if you are listening to this on iTunes or Spotify, please go ahead and give us a 5-star review. Do all of those things that maximize algorithms. I don't know, but I say this every week. The iTunes and Spotify podcast apps are still two apps and two algorithms that are not anti-gun. Gun content does well on those there. So when you give us a good review, it does actually help more people find the show. That is it. Thank you so much. And we will be back next week with an all-new episode.